Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers, and we are back in the studio with another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. And man, do we have a lot to talk about with you today. We're going to get it going on Easter morning before all of the festivities crank up, before the activities and Easter egg hunts kick off. But we're going to give you plenty to enjoy for Jayhawk Nation. We're going to talk basketball with Shay Wildebor. We've just seen the end to a down year in terms of the standard that has been established under head coach Bill Self. We talk about what's coming next. We're going to look at the transfer portal. We're going to talk about recruiting and take a closer look at where the roster stands now and where it could be heading into next season. Then we'll talk football. Get in with John Kirby. We're going to recap everything that's going on in the spring so far. We're going to give you an update with the latest on recruiting and what might lie ahead in the transfer portal when everything opens up again. And we've got a special guest on the show today as Anderson Kopp, an offensive lineman from Arizona who recently visited Lawrence and the Kansas Jayhawks. Here, we're going to talk with him when he joins us and hear about his recruitment and his opinion on KU. Before we get into all that, let me bring in my good friends. First off, on the men's basketball beat, Mr. Shay Wildebor. Shay, happy Easter. How are you this morning?
Happy Easter, my good friend, man. I'm good. I'm trying to keep up with all the transfer portal stuff. It's completely... And we can get into it, but it's completely out of control. I don't have an answer for it or a solution, but it's too much. But happy Easter, and I hope you and all your families have a wonderful day.
Totally agree. Right along with that, I'm going to throw out one thing, and Shay, you were just going to go right on. You don't even need to answer because I know you're with me on this. The fact that the portal starts while the tournament is going on is absolutely ridiculous.
Again, no answers, no solutions, and just I don't know who's in charge of this thing, but a little common sense can go a long way in today's life.
No doubt. Now let me bring in my friend and our publisher, the man on the Kansas football beat, Mr. John Kirby. JK, how are you this morning? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you guys. I'm doing well, man. You know, it's kind of interesting. We've had some plans to get the podcast going, and finally we all said, hey, let's do this thing on Easter morning before all the festivities start. So I'm glad we could all get on. I know we've talked about getting this thing going back in regular, so it's good to be on. Hey, I want to touch on something you just said. You talked about timing, and it is. The portal is an interesting timing, and that's something that's always under discussion with the NCAA. And I'm going to tell you guys, and you guys all played sports, and you guys know this, but you know one of the new dates that's really being kicked around is starting to bring a signing day in at the end of June. Okay.
Yeah, so I heard about that.
Okay, so Randy, this is going to be interesting because I mean, you've coached and you run a 7-on-7 program and you know, I mean, we've all done this for a long time. I heard the other day there's a good chance this June signing date may not happen, and I'm going to tell you why. I think the high school coaches have kind of reached out to college coaches and said, "Hey guys, if you sign kids at the end of June, you're going down a bad path because now a senior, he has no reason to work hard. He has no reason to even, some guys may not even play football, okay? So they're saying if you sign a kid on June 30th who took his official visits in June, he could come into football. He could just opt out. He could go, maybe if he's plays another sport, he goes and focuses on another sport and just says, I'm not going to play. So I heard the other day there's a good chance now this June signing day. I know you talked about, Shay, about the timing of it as it opens during the NCAA, you know, portal, which is just terrible, you know, terrible timing. But but the fact of the matter is yeah, that's what's going on with football. So it'll be interesting. They're going to tweak this stuff and they're going to change it. And this portal is never going to stay the same. It's always going to change.
It's, you know, it's interesting. The piece that you kind of mentioned there that really stuck out to me was high school coaches maybe kind of establishing a voice in some of this, which is interesting because it seems like that has been the aspect of it, or maybe the angle that has really gone away. You know, we've talked over the years, John, about how high school coaches have almost really been removed from the recruiting equation in a lot of ways because of everything being online. And, you know, it's not like the old days where you had to have coach cut together a VHS tape and send it out and reach out to coaches on your behalf. Now it's like that old adage, if you can play, they'll find you because the information is out there. To see that kind of happen and them saying, hey, again, almost like we've talked about with the other aspects of the portal, there could be real unintended consequences here if you do this.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think that's a really, really interesting point there.
Well, when high school coaches start telling the college guys, hey, listen, if you do a signing day in June, you're going to lose a lot of the kids. You're going to see their effort go down. You're going to see kids that don't have, you know, they don't have the effort to play now because, hey, I'm signed. I'm good to go, right? I'm signed at KU. Or I'm signed at Ohio State or wherever the school is. So I think the high school coaches have thrown this out to the college guys. And then the college guys went back to the NCAA and they're saying, hey, we don't know if we like this one. So it'll be interesting.
Absolutely. All right, so let's go ahead. We're going to start with men's basketball. Shay, you know, I wanted to check with you on this one and kind of get your thoughts because you've been on the KU beat for 20-plus years, and it's crazy to think that being ranked number 16 in the nation, heading into the NCAA tournament as a 4 seed, that's now somehow rock bottom for Kansas basketball fans. Take us back on how things went this year and give us your thoughts on the season and, you know, results versus the expectations as a preseason number one in the nation in a lot of people's opinions.
Right, and I think you just said it, Randy. When the season started, Kansas was hands down number one. You know, they got off early. They had some big wins. You know, they looked really good. They went out. You know, they beat Marquette. They beat Tennessee. They beat Kentucky. They beat UConn. You know, they went to Indiana and won. You know, you didn't anticipate them having so many road woes. And then, and Randy, I'm going to tell you, I always felt like something was off with this team. It was one of those seasons where it just never felt.
It never looked right.
Right, it didn't. And, you know, and here's the thing. You know, McCullough got hurt. And there was that. And so he was in and out, in and out, in and out. But even before that, I mean, Nick Timberlake, and let me tell you something, guys. There's a lot of people, not only on our board, but around college basketball that follow this thing, that have unfairly criticized Nick. It's not like Nick came into the season and was like, hey, guys, I'm going to play for potentially a number one team, so I'm just going to really have a bad year and I'm going to let that be enough. That wasn't his attitude at all. I mean, he was devastated at the season he had simply because he was brought in to perform a task and he struggled to perform that task. And then I hear people criticize, there was a guy on the board saying, oh, you can anticipate 3 coaches leaving or 2 guys. Bill wasn't out there missing layups or missing shots or missing free throws or not grabbing rebounds. So, I mean, it was just a culmination of nothing ever really seemed. I don't know if we ever saw this team really click. You know, El Marco Jackson, McDonald's All-American, projected one and done, struggled. I mean, it was a struggle for him. It wasn't absolute. It looked like he was sped up all year. The brakes were out. He couldn't slow down, and it was just an absolute struggle. Nick Timberlake struggle. You know, I'll bring this up once. You know, I haven't talked about it on the boards. I haven't talked about it openly. You know, the loss of Artario Morse absolutely devastated this team. Devastated. I mean, you go back and look at his performance overseas in the exhibition games, and there were games when he was fantastic. So, you know, when you lose that, when you have a Nick Timberlake struggle, when you have an El Marco Jackson struggle, and then towards the end of the year, you know, Hunter got hurt, you know.
But like you said, when you lose a guy that you expected to be a centerpiece.
Right.
I mean, an absolute feature on what you did night in and night out.
Right.
And as we've talked about, you know, probably shouldn't have gone down that road anyway.
Right.
Given
exactly.
Given what was known about the situation, it was a gamble and they lost.
Right.
And I think you can make a pretty solid case that that is really what this all comes down to.
Yeah, you're up 16 at Central Florida. You know, you win that game. You're up what 14 or 15 at West Virginia. You win that game. You know, you're up 12 at K-State. You win that game. Your seating's different. Maybe the confidence is a little bit different. The outlook's a little bit different. But I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you guys, listen. The loss of McCullough too was devastating. You're talking about
absolutely.
A guy. I'm not necessarily talking about a shooting percentage, but a guy that led the Big 12 in scoring, I believe, are pretty damn close, mm-hmm. close to 20 points a game. He was getting to the free throw line. He was getting to the basket. And when you lose that, I mean, imagine a Gonzaga losing their top guy, Neimhardt. Or imagine I watched UConn last night absolutely boat race a team.
A 30-0 run, right, by the way.
Right. Well, they lose Klingon. Or if today who's playing? I can't even remember who's playing today. If they lose their guys, you know, mm-hmm. it seems like Kansas never gets a pass in those regards. I mean, you lose a huge guy. Let's say Purdue loses Edie, or Duke loses one of their guys, or NC State loses the big man down low. So, I mean, yeah, it's just nothing to me. Nothing ever felt right about this season. Nothing. And it just.
All right, Shay, now that the season is over and Self and his staff are involved in exit meetings and start looking into the portal and ahead to next season, give me your take on what positions he is trying to fill for this squad.
Yeah, I think, Randy, the biggest thing is not knowing who's coming back. You need perimeter shooting. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that Hunter comes back. And if that's the case, you need to surround that guy with shooters. To me, the biggest takeaway this year from Kansas' team was they didn't have guys that could hit shots on a regular basis. I mean, I know the tournament opener, they hit some shots, but regularly on a regular basis, you know, there are nights where they were, you know, two of something or three of something or one of something or whatever the case may be. So they need to find guys, you know, guys 39, 40, 42, 45% shooters from beyond the arc that can come in and hit shots when KU needs to hit shots. Because I think the biggest thing for Hunter was that he didn't have guys surrounding him that could hit shots. So the defense knew what was coming. You know, I heard the guys against Gonzaga say, well, we prepared for KU's three-point shooting. Well, there was nothing really to prepare for. I mean, KU all year long struggled. So I think that's the biggest thing right now is just finding guys that can hit shots from the wing and guys that can create off the bounce.
I know it's hard to predict, and I'm not asking you to do that here, but what current players are you watching to see, you know, which ones do you think could return and which ones do you think could be moving on?
Well, I mean, if I look at the roster, I mean, I got to believe that Hunter's coming back. I don't know that for sure. I know there's been some talk on the board, but you guys, he's not on any draft boards. I mean, I can't imagine that I guess you could go out and test and find out what you need to work on, you know, but I kind of always kind of penciled him as a guy that would come back. I'm 50-50 on El Marco. I know there's been some talk behind the scenes, El Marco Jackson, that he would, that he would look to transfer, but I know also at the NCAA tournament, and a couple guys I talked to absolutely said that he was coming back. So if that's the case, I think a year two out of Marco Jackson would be a good thing because, you guys, he's got the talent. I mean, we've all seen that. He wasn't misevaluated because everybody had him as a five-star guy, I think, or a high four-star. So McDonald's All-American. So I just think it was one of those years where, you know, he struggled off the bat and just could never get comfortable. I'm guessing that Jamari McDowell is going to come back. I don't even know why we're talking about him unless he's just not happy with his role, unless he's looking for more minutes. You know, I think Johnny Furphy has a decision to make. What that decision is, I have no idea. You know, there was a point in the season where he was averaging over, you know, a previous four games, like 17 points per game and 8 rebounds. He kind of not struggled, but maybe hit that wall down the stretch. And then I expect Zach Clemons. I mean, you guys, listen, I think if he was going to stay, I think we would have heard more about him. I just, you know, I think he made the decision. You know, he never, when he left Kansas, he never went anywhere. He went home to San Antonio, didn't take any visits, didn't enroll in any schools. Didn't do any of that stuff. You know, I think he went home, might have been frustrated with his options and just committed to a school on the spot, but never signed anything. So, but I think that a year at KU has been good for him. I think he worked out, got better, worked on his game, and really, guys, at the end of the day, I think he moves on too. So I think those are the guys that you really need to kind of focus on moving forward.
Portal season, as we say, we know it's in full swing, and it has been since the tournament started, as ridiculous as that is. Shay, get us caught up on some of the targets to watch. I know it's a fluid situation, and obviously it changes every day with more guys going into the portal, more guys making their decisions, committing, heading different places. But who are some of the players at this point that the Jayhawks have been the most involved with so far?
Yeah, I think it starts at the top. Not necessarily the number one guy, but I think in terms of location and people know about him is Zeke Mayo, the 6'4 point guard from South Dakota State. This past season, 19.2 points, 5.8 rebounds, 3.6 assists, shot almost 50% from the field, almost 40% from behind the arc. He's currently in Lawrence. Obviously, it's Easter weekend, visiting family. And he texted me late last night and said he's in the process of scheduling a visit to Kansas, I believe unofficial, for this next week. Now, the word is it's Tuesday. He didn't tell me that last night. He just said he's in the process of scheduling a visit. Now, here's the thing with this, you guys. Everybody knows that DeJuan Harris is Bill's number one guy. He's always been Bill's number one guy, and he's always going to be number one guy. I think you need a guy that can complement him, that can slide over and play with DeJuan. And I think Zeke's that guy. I mean, he's got some size. I mean, he can get to the basket. He's been really successful at that level, at the South Dakota State level. But the question that everybody's always going to ask is it Nick Timberlake? And I think that's a valid question, but I think it's unfair because I think each player is different. Zeke Mayo, I know Oklahoma's involved, and a lot of people seem to think that Creighton might be the team to beat, but yeah, that's definitely one, and I've talked to him, he's a great kid, kind, courteous, obviously, he's from Kansas. I'm interested to see if he wants to come home and fill that role, or maybe go on to another, Power 5 school, whatever, and see if he can have success elsewhere. So that's obviously one to keep an eye on. The kid from Florida, the Riley Kugel, is really progressing quickly. 6'5", 207. He spent 2 years at Florida, had a really good freshman year where he averaged like 9, almost 10 points a game. Kind of struggled a little bit this last year. And you guys, like I said, I don't know anything about him, never talked to him. I've exchanged some text messages with his AAU coach and some people close to him. I know there's a rap on the board maybe about an attitude. You know, KU fans are always going to, especially after the Arterio Moore situation, they're going to diagnose and detect and all those things. I don't know anything about him. All I know is that the staff absolutely loves him. And from what I've been told, that momentum is building for this thing to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen right away. My initial thought was after talking with some people that the staff would not rush any decisions in terms of adding portal guys or any guys in particular. Things are moving actually quite quickly with this kid. And I would expect, I think they've met via Zoom. So I think from what I've been told, the next step in the process is obviously setting up a visit. When that visit takes place, I'm not sure yet, but this is a kid that's really talented. I think he would flourish, absolutely flourish under Bill Self. I don't know all the ins and outs, but that's a kid to focus on. The big kid from Rutgers, Big Cliff, 6'11", 240 pound, senior center, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. Obviously you're not getting anything on the perimeter. You're getting things strictly down low, 52% from the field. And I think, to me, this is a little head scratcher. Randy, I believe they're in the process of scheduling a Zoom visit. The thing is, the only way I think this thing happens is if they know that Hunter's out. You've got Hunter, you've got Flory, you've got KJ they can step in. But a really talented center that could come in and fill a role, assuming Hunter isn't around. So I think those are the big three guys. And Randy, like I said, there's Gibson Jimerson, a 6'5" point guard from St. Louis. The average 15 points a game and shot 36% from the field. That's a guy the staff has reached out to. The Brandon Garrison kid, the 6'11", 245 pound center, freshman Oklahoma State, his numbers aren't eye popping when you look at him, but he's a kid that over time has a chance to be a really big, big, big time player. But again, it's the center position. And the thing that I think everybody needs to understand is that no decisions will be made, at least publicly, until everybody knows what's going on with this team in terms of roster. And right now I have no idea. I don't know when exit meetings are. We haven't heard anything. I don't know when the banquet is. So right now I'm just keeping tabs on all these guys the best I can. figuring out who's setting Zoom visits, who's planning visits and things of that nature. So the list is long. There's a Jalen Leach guard from Fairfield, and we could do this thing all day long. But right now, those are the three guys. The AJ Storff kid from Wisconsin. I assume if he doesn't stick with the draft, that's a guy that Kansas will absolutely put all the chips in for. So yeah, there's a ton of guys right now in the portal.
Shay, I know it's a lot to keep up with. We appreciate you coming in and giving us kind of a state of the state right now of where things are with the program and the direction potentially that they're going in. Keep us posted on everything. Thanks for joining us this morning.
All right, you guys. Happy Easter, man. You guys have a good day.
Same to you,
buddy. That's our man, Shay Wildebor, on the men's basketball beat. Now we are going to switch gears, bring in our man, John Kirby, and it is time to talk Kansas football. Kirby, I know this sounds crazy to say it, but spring football is almost halfway over already. We're less than 2 weeks from the spring showcase. Tell us some things that you've seen at practice. You've been in Lawrence on a number of occasions. What have you heard from the coaches and from the staff 7 practices into this thing?
Yeah, Randy, it's crazy. I was sitting there yesterday watching him go through practice, and I was thinking, God, this is Leipold. This is only his third spring football. Because remember, when he got hired, spring football was over, which was that unique situation. So, I don't know that I've seen a lot of surprises. One of the things that has caught my attention is that just the team looks good physically. But, and I got to say this, that's no surprise with Matt Gildersleeve, okay? And it's starting to be to the point now that we need to stop, and starting with me, we need to stop talking about what the team looks like physically, because from here on out, that's what we expect, right? The program's turned a corner. This program is on such solid ground. Matt Gildersleeve's a stud. He's really good. So, when you think about, boy, they look good physically. I was telling somebody they look good physically, and somebody I was sitting next to said, yeah, no doubt. And then I got to thinking, no, that's just the norm now, right? It would be more off if you came out and went, boy, they don't look that good physically, or few of these guys look a little sloppy. That's just not going to happen with Gildersleeve. So, that's kind of caught my attention. I looked over the offense, and I love the wide receivers, love the running backs. I think the tight end group will be solid. Okay, the pieces are there to put together a solid offensive line, but there's going to be some work that has to be done. I really like watching Daryl Agpal as a coach. He's the new guy that's replacing Scott Fuchs. And this is something that I don't know that a lot of people have really thought about or talked about, but Lance Leipold rehired him from when he was with him at Buffalo. Okay. Whitewater and then Buffalo. Think about that. For Lance Leipold to rehire a guy, that tells you that this guy can coach, because Lance won't rehire him unless he knows what he's getting into. So I thought that was a great hire. Listen, on the O-line, there is some concern. You lose the best O-lineman by far that you had in Dominic Pooney. He held down that left side. And then you lose Nowitzki, and he was the guy that made your calls and kept the line in shape for 3 years and experienced. And I don't think a lot of people understand the loss of Nowitzki is going to be hard to, replace. So looking over on the defensive side, I've got questions about the front seven and the linebackers and the pass rush. And I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more, but those are a couple positions that got to get shored up. They're playing around with some linebacker combinations. Marvin Grant this spring's been doing some. So, I love the secondary. I've got no concerns there. I think the secondary's so deep that they can actually take Marvin Grant and start letting him play a little of that nickel. I don't know if he'd be a true nickel, because I don't know what his coverage skills are like, but he would be more in the Cinco package where they use like a hybrid guy or a small linebacker. So, haven't had a chance to see special teams yet. Got to get a place kicker. But overall, halfway through spring football, it's kind of where I thought it would be. And I say this every year, and I don't mean to downplay spring football, because I know people get excited for spring football.
Oh, yeah.
But spring football, it is what it is. It's spring football, right? We get some player interviews, and we get to talk to some coaches, but coaches aren't ever going to say much. Players aren't ever going to give you much. In through spring football, I don't know that there's a lot of movement going on in the depth chart. This is kind of like the preseason, right, to a fall camp, So, you know, and I tell people this all the time, go to the spring showcase, have fun. Okay. But don't read in too much into the spring showcase because, you know, all they're doing is they're probably going to practice, maybe turn it into a little bit of a scrimmage. Everybody's moving away from the spring games. They want to keep their guys healthy. So, you know, hey, everything's going well. There's a lot of confidence in the program. So it'll be interesting to see what the last half brings.
Kirby, if there's one thing through spring that you know you and the rest of us aren't going to get an answer on, but are most intrigued to watch heading into the fall, what would it be?
Boy, that's a tough one. You know, obviously, you know, the D end, they've got to find a pass rusher. I'll tell you this, Randy, I posted this on the board the other day, and I feel strongly about this. And I want to be careful how I say this, but the most intriguing thing for me going into the season is going to be what does the offense look like, okay? And why I say this is when you look back over the last two seasons where they went to bowl games, what was the strength of the team? It was offense. It was what they did offensively. It was the scheme. It was the creativity. They kept defenses off balance, okay? So I look and I think, and I talked to some players yesterday, and they kept bringing up a different system. Things are changing. So now I'm trying to think, what does a Jeff Grimes system look like? All right. I know they have to keep elements in there that were like the option game and the quarterback run game and the wildcat, because those things keep teams off balances. Kansas isn't good enough. They're not talented enough, especially up front, to just line up and play traditional football and say, we're going to line up, we're going to knock you around, we're going to run some play action. You know, what they did under Kotelnicki worked. I mean, it was very creative. It was fun to watch. I like Jeff Grimes a lot. But when you look back, you know, Baylor, BYU, some of the places, they are a lot more traditional type offenses. So, you know, I don't think anybody knows what it's all going to look like. I think it's going to be a combination of what we've seen with some twist that Grimes could put on it, because he's a wide zone guy, which is what Kansas has been running. So to me, that's the biggest thing, is can this offense be in a position to keep people off balance and out scheme guys like they have the last couple years?
We're going to get into some recruiting talk, John, but I want to welcome first our guest, and you will love to hear what he has to say. Anderson Kopp, a big offensive lineman from Brophy Prep in Arizona, was just in Lawrence this weekend for an unofficial with his father, who was a defensive lineman for the Jayhawks back in the day. He joins Kirby in the studio, on the studio line right now, to talk about his visit and what's next with his recruitment.
We are joined by Anderson Kopp, who is a key recruiting target on the offensive line for the Jayhawks. And he's an interesting story because he's got a dad, Kevin, who I watched play at KU under Glenn Mason. So I'm going to welcome him in. Anderson, how you doing?
Coach, I'm doing great today. How about you?
Man, I'm doing well. I saw you up at practice. I saw your dad there. And I know you and I were just chatting there, and you said your voice is a little down because of the allergies in Arizona.
Yeah, the voice is a little raspy right now. Arizona allergies are not forgetful. So I apologize if the voice is a little raspy, but I have a lot of great things to say about KU and the visit.
Well, we'll get into that. I think everybody around here maybe credits you for bringing some weather from Arizona in, because when you guys got in, the weather started getting nicer. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. I was surprised. I mean, every day, not a cloud in the sky. The weather's been beautiful. I mean, I'm just grateful.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, I got to ask you this. When you come back to Lawrence, I know you've been back a lot. You got to shoot me straight. Does your dad ever tell you when you guys are by the field, hey, that's the field I made all the plays on when I was a player?
He tells me a little bit, but he does a great job kind of realizing this is my process. And, like, if I go to KU, it's not because of him. It's more because it's the right fit for me. But he does throw a little bit of those tidbits in, like I made some plays on this field. But, no, he does just a great job supporting me and whatever I want to do.
Absolutely. You know, I want to ask you, you've been to Kansas several times. Tell me about this trip back, and tell me some of the things that stood out to you.
So it's going to sound a little cliche, but this trip back was by far the best trip back I've ever had. Like, I came in, I flew in Friday, or basically Saturday morning, because our flight got in at 12 a.m., and we got to the Eldridge at about 2 a.m. So I think we're sleeping by 3 a.m., and then Coach Aligo picked us up at 6 a.m. So I got about 3 hours of sleep that night. But it was an early morning that day. The first day in was about 12 hours. You know, the good thing about this trip was, like, when I came previous times where I didn't have an offer yet, I just kind of came in and I kind of looked around being like, oh, this is cool. My dad played here. Like, oh, he lived in that house. He lived in that apartment. Kind of going through the motions a little bit. But now I received the offer. You have a new mindset. Like, you're going in here and you're like, okay, how can I see my life relating to whatever I do? Like, when you're in practice, you're looking at, okay, how can I see myself going through these drills? Or we toured the business school, because that's what I want to major in. Like, how can I see myself in these classes? And just so on and so forth. Like, this trip is a lot more, how, like, can I truly see myself here? And putting myself in the player's shoes and be like, okay, like, if I'm spending the next 4 or 5 years of my life here, like, how am I going to do it? Sort of that kind of stuff. And, like, truly envisioning myself here, if that makes sense.
All right, so this trip around two, there's also a new offensive line coach, Daryl Agpalza. What was it like talking to him and watching him coach and things like that and being around him?
Oh, my. I cannot say enough good things about Coach D.A. Honestly, my favorite O-line coach I've talked to in this process. He has a genuine care for his football players. I mean, when we were in the meeting place, like, he's just so true and genuine. When you talk to him one-on-one, a lot of coaches will sort of say stuff that they actually don't do, but they try to say stuff to get you to come to their school. But whatever Coach D.A. told me, like, that's what he did with his players. Like, he cares about them. When he's explaining the game, he always explains it in a teaching sense. He's like, okay, if we're going to double team this backer, why are we doing this backer? Or, like, if we're going to the third backer, why aren't we going to 1 and 2? Or what is this called, the tight end called? Just a lot. He's teaching the guys the game. So instead of going out there and just making the call, like, they know exactly why they're making the call, which is just a whole new side of the football side. And I was talking to some of the players, they're like, they love Coach D.A. Like, honestly, like, it's like they're part of the family. So I can't say better things about him. It's very, very easy to play fearless and play 100% when you know that your coach has your back, instead of kind of playing tight and being like, okay, well, I can't mess up. Instead, you can go out there, fly off the ball, and he gives you the confidence to know what you want to do. So when you're on the field, you're like, all right, I'm about to fire off. I know what to do. I'm just going to play football and have fun. So, I mean, I can't say enough good things.
As you watch the practice, you know, what was it like watching the team go through practice?
Oh, the practice was always my favorite part. My favorite part of practice is always the one-on-one sessions, because, like, I just like seeing the guys going at it one-on-one. But very, very organized, which is very good. I mean, Coach Leipold runs a tight ship. I mean, he tried to get his guys in and out in like an hour and some, or 2 hours and some change, so they have the rest of the day to be a college student or go live through something else. But very, very organized. You know, very fast paced. Like, he likes to get his underclassmen a lot of reps. So you got team coming in, second team coming in, like, very, very fast paced. So very well run practice. Very, very well run.
All right. I know you've been on some other visits lately. Talk about some of the other places you've been.
So I was at West Point 2 weeks ago, and, like, just the facilities KU has is just unreal compared to any other school. I mean, we were seeing all the renderings of the new stadium. We saw the weight room, the locker room, just how immensely insane that is. And, like, all the other schools are very, very good. And actually, after this KU trip, I think it was a couple hours ago, I canceled my visit with Iowa State because I was like, I don't see myself there, and I just want to focus on KU. So I think, yeah, the KU trip, like, made me realize that, like, KU is one of my top options, if not my number one. So, yeah, I canceled my Iowa State trip. It was supposed to be in 2 days.
Wow. So I got to ask you, so no Iowa State visit. Anything else coming up for visits?
So I'm going to Air Force, and then SDSU, and then U of A. Those are the ones coming up.
All right, and I know you told me you were already planning on your official visit to Kansas. any other schools in line to get an official?
I'm not sure yet. I mean, I haven't really visited them, so I don't know if I want to get an official there yet. But, yeah, as of right now, it's only KU lined up for the official, to be honest, if I'm being quite honest.
Yeah. You know, Anderson, last time you and I talked, I thought it was a pretty cool story when you told me just growing up the KU fan and all the things you own and your room and stuff like that. Take me back through that and just talk about growing up a KU fan.
Oh, I mean, look, there's not enough. Like, KU is, our family bleeds blue and red. I mean, every single Saturday for the past 15, or every single Saturday I've been born, we fly our KU inflatable Jayhawk in our front yard. And I'm talking like every single Saturday since I've been born. Like, whenever we're out of town, my dad gets someone to go to our house and fly it for him. I don't think we miss it. Like, even when, like, 8 years ago, when we were just not good at all, he would fly it. He fly any boot up with pride, or with pride, and he just loved being a KU fan. My first ever college football game, I was 3 years old. I went to a KU football game. I've been to numerous basketball games. I mean, like, besides, like, recruiting trips, I've been to Lawrence over, I don't know, 15 times. I've been to Lawrence numerous times. I have two cousins going to KU next year. They're both seniors in high school going there next year. So my, like, previous family went, and I have a lot of future family going. Literally, I go to Kansas every single summer for my family. My whole family's here. Like, it's kind of hard to say how much KU means to our family, because our family, like, revolves around them, to be honest.
You know, and I want to wrap up with this. You know, you're still in a decision-making mode. I mean, you're still taking visits and listening to coaches. As you get through this process and narrow things down, what's important to you? What are you looking for in a school?
So, it's been a big reoccurring thing people have asked for this weekend, but I think for me, it's, first off, it's how the brotherhood and culture of the team, because you can't be in a toxic community, to be honest. You have to have a strong relationship with your teammates, and you have to look in your position group and say, how tight-knit bond is the bond with the players in your own group? Because, I mean, with an O-lineman, if only one guy does their job wrong, it screws up the whole play. So you have to be on the same page. You need to look at the bond. You got to love those guys like they're your real family. And you got to love your position coach. I mean, that's who you spend the majority of time with. I mean, he's literally your teacher. He's your guy. So definitely the community around the culture, I mean, the teammates, the camaraderie there, the coaches, and really that's a big thing for me. And just bonuses are like the facilities and how nice they are, and the stadium. And there's a lot of bonuses, but if we're getting to the meat of the bone, it's definitely the culture and the camaraderie the players have, and your coaches. That's really what all matters for me, and I think KU checks all those boxes.
That's great stuff from Anderson Kopp. He's one of the top offensive line recruits the KU staff is on right now. And Anderson, I know you just got back and you're tired, and I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us, and I know the Kansas fans are going to love to hear what you had to say.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. To some of you, can't even – I just appreciate it so much.
All right, Anderson. Hey, we'll definitely be in touch, and thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you so much.
That was a great interview with Anderson Kopp, and KU fans have to be feeling good after hearing from him. Kirby, I'm going to give you the floor and let you wrap things up with recruiting. Tell us about, you know, maybe some of the recent visitors. Who have you talked with? What are you hearing from them? And then maybe give us your take on what to expect when the portal reopens here in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to start. Hey, I'll start with Anderson Kopp. What a great interview. And boy, I tell you, I mean, if you're a KU fan after hearing that, you're feeling pretty good. So, you know, it's something we've joked about, Randy, and been talked about. You know, you hear a lot of guys in the past that have, like, family ties to Kansas State, especially locally, or their father played there. It's crazy now. For somebody, I think, posted for the first time, I think we're hearing about, like, a player that his dad played at KU. Right. And so finally, like, a break comes the Jayhawks' way, that this really good offensive lineman in Arizona, loves KU and he grew up a KU fan. So maybe there's more dads out there that are KU former players to start having really good sons as football players.
So, we need some legacies. Absolutely.
That's right. So, hey, you know, it's KU's time for that. So, you know, I if you heard the interview, you've got to think KU's in the driver's seat there. Also, a lot of good visitors recently. Yesterday I saw, you know, Lincoln Cure, the tight end from Goodland, was there. A tight end from Minnesota, Meyer Swinney, who, boy, he's a good-looking prospect. And he told me he's going to be back for an official. They had a really good safety. A lot of good safeties, actually, yesterday. Marcelo Vitti from Michigan and Tobias Gary from South Oak Cliff were there. A.J. Marks is another safety from IMG. They had a highly recruited, regarded offensive lineman, Antoni Ogumaro from Oklahoma. He was up. Now, he's going to be a tough get. I mean, he's going to be a tough get. But the fact is, Randy, these guys are visiting campus. I mean, this has probably been one of the best springs in terms of visitors I've seen in a long time. On Thursday, they had Jaden Ramos, a D-end out of Conroe. That Anderson Kopp was there. Brock Heath from Blue Valley Northwest was there. And then Cameron Brooks, a defensive lineman from Illinois. I've written a couple stories on him. You know, he was there. I saw his family talking with Panagos for quite a while during warm-ups and things. So, you know, things have been good. And those are just the recent guys off the top of my head. Also, they've had Ian Primmer, a tight end from Great Bend, who just got offered by Kansas State yesterday. KU was the first to offer. Last week, Keaton Jones, offensive lineman from Coffeyville. Dylan Battle, a defensive lineman from Texas. I mean, there's a lot of guys with multiple Power 5 offers have been in. And then I'll get into this in the upcoming next 2 weeks. There's more guys coming. So, you know, I don't know how many of these guys are going to be in the picture. I don't know how many of them are going to come back for official visits. But you got to start somewhere. And they've done a really nice job of getting a lot of visitors in. And I still think we're going to see 15 more recruits between now and the spring showcase on campus. So that's definitely going to be something to watch. Moving to the portal, boy, I'll tell you, I mean, it will be interesting. And it's not just who Kansas is going to go after, but who enters the portal from KU. I just know, I don't have specifics, there's going to be a player or two who enter the portal. So the question is going to be who enters for KU and then who do they go after? Obviously, defensive end and linebacker are two key spots they have to go after. And then I'm going to throw out one, and this may surprise people, but a sleeper position to watch in the portal could be quarterback, okay? And that's on a couple things. That is, do they get through spring football and see Jalen Daniels progress with his injury? Okay, does he show signs of getting much better? I was at practice yesterday. There was a couple basic drills he didn't go through, okay? They were basic non-contact running drills, and he sat off to the side. And then the other question is going to be, what do they see from Cole Ballard and Isaiah Marshall? Do they say, hey, these guys can be solid backups, but for this year, okay, do they need help? So I'm just telling you, that is a sleeper position that I'm looking at.
Lot of information there, Kirby. This has been just a jam-packed kind of catch-up edition of the Inside Slant this morning. We got everything up to the minute updates on the status of the men's basketball program, the direction they could be looking to go in recruiting, as well as the next steps in the portal. Then we switch gears. Kirby, you just heard from John Kirby. Give us everything that's been happening in spring football, talking about where things are good, maybe where things there could be a place for some competition and where this staff might need to look in the portal. Exciting times right now for Kansas football and men's basketball fans. You have heard it all here this morning on Easter Sunday. So as you gear up to enjoy the Easter egg hunts and the festivities and everything the rest of the day, be sure, if you haven't had a chance to in a little bit, log into Jayhawk Slant. Go check out everything that's going on, because the message boards are buzzing right now. All the talk on the Memorial Stadium Slant Suite about spring football. Obviously, the Allen Fieldhouse suite has been going crazy throughout the tournament and since the Jayhawks run came to an end. If you aren't a subscriber, now is the perfect time. You get the podcast for free, but you can learn so much more, hear so much more insight from experts like Shea Wildebor. You heard from Shea, you heard from John. Now get out there and enjoy Easter Sunday. For my man, Shea Wildebor, for John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.